Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:32 p.m. on Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. Also, let the record reflect that we have a quorum present today. Our Senator Stevens, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Kawasaki, Senator Keel, Senator Machicki, and myself, Senator Rivak. I'd like to remind everybody, please turn off your cell phones or silence them. Today's agenda consists of 8 items. We're going to try and move through all of these that have been before us many multiple times. So it is our intent to take action on these items. SB 180, SB 177, HB 54, SB 219, SB 227, SB 228, and HCR 2. For those online, we sincere apology for misunderstanding, but those online to testify for SB 180, we've already had public testimony. This bill, should it make it through the process here today, we'll have multiple opportunities in the future for the public to testify in future committees. So if you want to write to us at SRES@akleg.gov, we will let you know when those committee opportunities are in the near future. We'll have, again, there will be several opportunities in the near future to testify on SB 180. I would encourage the public and anyone who's interested, again, please, you can go ahead and send written testimony and we'll notify you in the future. All right, we're going to dive right into these bills. We're going to begin with SB 180, Passenger Vessel Environmental Compliance. This is the third time the bill is before the committee, and there have been 4 amendments submitted to the committee. And with that, I would entertain a motion, Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move in this amendment.
Number one?
I'll move amendment number one.
All right, and I will object for the purposes of discussion, so you can explain your amendment.
Oh my gosh, can we pass this?
Briefities.
Yeah, sorry, I don't have, waiting for my mic. Briefities.
Briefities. All right, we are back on the record. I think we have an amendment number one from Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one, which comes from Legal Services, as A.3, if you see in the upper right-hand corner there.
Thank you. I'll object for the purpose of discussion. Senator Keel, would you please explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment adds a fourth criterion to how the department needs to weight grant applications for grants for municipal wastewater facility improvements. And this would add a consideration of what the seasonal needs are as a result of impacts on a community from cruise passenger vessels. So you see there are other requirements in the bill already that make perfect sense: public health, water quality, environmental impact. But the expense of a wastewater treatment facility goes up pretty dramatically with the volume you need to handle it, and you kind of have to build that church for Christmas and Easter. You have to build it for the peak number of people who flush. And if that's a big cruise ship day in an otherwise tiny town, that's a major factor.
Thank you, Senator Keel. And for the record, I would like to correct. We will call this Amendment A.3. And we'll go through amendments the way that they've been listed in that order. So thank you, Senator Keel. I will remove my objection. Is there any further objections to Amendment A.3? All right, seeing none, Amendment A.3 has passed committee. Senator Keel, you have an additional amendment?
I do, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment A.4.
I will object for the purposes of discussion. Senator, please explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment A.4 changes the bill. Instead of a complete repeal of the Ocean Rangers in favor of the shore-based and occasional ride-alongs that DEC has planned. This scales back the Ocean Ranger program to much more of an occasional or a periodic check, sort of the cop on the beat approach. I think there were some strong arguments made by the administration that just as we don't have a police officer on every single corner in town, they have built out capacity so that they don't strictly need an Ocean Ranger on every single cruise voyage in Alaska. But deleting them entirely, I think we've heard from strong public comment, is not what Alaskans are looking for in this self-funded program. So this brings us down to a situation where DEC would contract for the program and have one in five cruise voyages in Alaska waters have an Ocean Ranger on board.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Further discussion?
I just have a quick question then.
Yes, Senator Von Imhoff.
Is this going to change the fiscal note on this bill by chance?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that this will somewhat reduce the savings. There will still be a cost to an Ocean Ranger program rather than eliminating it entirely. That should be able to operate, of course, much more cheaply and much more efficiently than the old program.
I will maintain my objection. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Muchiki.
I appreciate that. I'm also not going to support the amendment. I believe in the spirit of the bill, and I believe it'll deliver dramatic improvements to the commercial passenger vessel performance as far as water quality goes. I also like the other pieces of it that are partially funded by not having an Ocean Ranger program. The Ocean Ranger program is a great program. I think what it did was demonstrated that we have a compliance program that works. I think they were engaged, and I know that it's popular. But frankly, I think the what's in this bill has the potential to deliver much greater performance than the previous program. So I will regrettably not be supporting this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Muchiki. Senator Stevens.
Thank you. Sir, I agree. The Ocean Ranger program, I think, was quite successful. And, you know, I see this as maybe a step in the right direction. Instead of eliminating it entirely, I like the idea of having one in five cruises manned. And if that works out fine, then eventually we can go to completely eliminating it. But I'm in favor of the amendment.
Yes, Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have an amendment similar to this. It would be one in four, but I do also agree that the Ocean Ranger program has been a success. We've seen that. And I did not get as much justification from the department that I needed to completely eliminate the program. I think as we transition perhaps into a different system where there will be other compliance check, compliance and operational verification that these cruise vessels are actually performing the duties that they must within state waters, then maybe we will see this program go away. But to just eliminate it completely, I don't think it's correct at this time. And so this is really a compromise that I think Senator Keel brought forward. And so I will be supporting this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Kawasaki. Additional discussion?
Just have a question.
Yes, Senator Von Imhoff.
Senator Muchiki, why do you think that this program, why do you think that the Ocean Ranger, we don't need it, and that this new compliance will be sufficient?
Mr. Chairman, can we call the department up? I don't know that members are aware that the current Ocean Ranger program is not currently operating, and it's not associated significantly, actually, I think one can argue not at all with water quality compliance. So
Mr. Chairman, can we have the department up to answer those questions?
We can. Brief at ease. Please put yourself on the record and address the questions.
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm Randy Bates. I'm the Director of Water within the Department of Environmental Conservation. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you again for having us in here in this bill. Senator Von Imhoff, through the chair, Senator Michicki addressed much of the issue that we've had and the value of what the Ocean Rangers was at one point. As they were put in place in 2006, they served a very important purpose and they served a very important perspective for us. What they did was observe activities on the vessels. They're not inspectors. They're not badge-carrying individuals. They observe activities on the vessel, write reports, and provide those to our staff. Our staff was then able to, over the course of time and over the course of the year, evaluate what those observations were. Many of the times, those observations were well outside what our own authorities are, which is wastewater discharge. Right? And so the Ocean Rangers had a broad checklist of what they were going to do on the vessels. It included looking at cleanliness, looking at logs, looking at other things. They gave us the opportunity since 2016 to take a look at our authorities, how we manage cruise ships and all industries that have discharges, and evaluate, were we doing it correctly? Did the Ocean Rangers give us something more in terms of their oversight and our knowledge about vessel operations? And we've evaluated that for the last couple of years. Obviously, with this bill, we believe we got it right. The Ocean Rangers served a purpose at a particular time when they were brought in. We don't see the value of those Ocean Rangers at this point as observational individuals on the vessels. We believe that through our inspection protocols, and I addressed those in the last hearing, we're going to be on vessels 100% of the time, 100% of all vessels early in the season, those first 3 or 4 weeks. We're going to follow up with scheduled and unscheduled inspections as necessary. And we're going to do, for those vessels, large vessels, discharging in-state waters, we will do a ride-along. So we'll go from port to port on a voyage, at least a voyage. So we will be going from Juneau to Ketchikan, Ketchikan to Sitka, whatever it is. So we will have somebody on board to actually witness and pay attention to how those discharges occur. We have inspection authority to get behind any door we need to. Ocean Rangers did not have that authority, so we've clarified that in our bill. I think overall, the Ocean Rangers provided an important service to the state at a time. We've evaluated their effectiveness, the cost of that service. We've come up with what we believe to be a viable plan going forward, which serves the purpose and serves the people to protect the environment in the best way possible to make sure that the environment and human health is protected.
Okay. Just clarification?
Yes. Senator Von Imhoff.
Well, thank you. So you have ride-alongs, announced or unannounced. You're going to be there the first 4 weeks of the season. You're going to go discharged from port to port. So you're going to be sort of taking over the ranger function with DEC employees, and you have staff to do that.
Senator Von Imhoff, through the chair. Yes, what you said is exactly correct. We have one marine engineer on board. We're recruiting for a second marine engineer right now. We have, I believe, 3 full-time dedicated staff that are going to also be inspection staff. And I believe we have 2 more part-time positions that will be assisting this. So we have built and bolstered our program to make sure that we are looking at not only the large vessels, but the small vessels too, which is something the Ocean Rangers have never looked at, as those small vessels. And so we are going to be on those vessels, 100% of those vessels. Right now we've got 41 large vessels coming in the state. We've got 18 small vessels coming in the state. It looks like somewhere around 1.65 million passengers. We look forward to visiting those vessels with our staff that have badges that can get behind those doors and take a look at their wastewater discharges, take a look at their sampling protocols, take a look at their logs, make sure that everything is operational the way they have it in their engineering plans. That is, we're trained in that aspect. We're trained in that regard.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Additional questions? Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you. When was the last time the Ocean Rangers operated?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, the last time they operated was 2019. 2020, 2021. In 2020, the budget for the Ocean Rangers expired, the contract did, and we did not renew that. 2021, we also didn't have a cruise season that year. 2021, we did not put a contract out for the vessels. We had a limited season, and our staff was able to get on board all the vessels that came up here and do those inspections. Sort of as a true up of what our inspection protocols would be. So last year, our staff was able to gain what I think was great experience early season and through the year as the vessels came back.
Can I add something?
Yes, Senator Mr.
Chairman, I'll just tell you, I'm a guy in a boat, and I love guys in small boats. Here's the reason why I support this bill. It finally gives us some funding that was used for partially used for Ocean Rangers to make a difference not only on water quality issues, which has been exemplary, frankly, which is why we repealed the zero mixing zone part of the Citizens Initiative a few years back. But the reality of it is we can start working out a program that's going to help with the wavered communities in Southeast. That is a significant water quality impact. That's why I support this bill. So I'd like to see real forward motion on moving away from wavered communities in the future. I think this is these are the seeds of that program moving forward. And although it's somewhat romantic, it was a great program. They did good things early on. Really what they proved is that our other systems are working. This bill beefs up those systems and allows us to start dealing with the real issues in Southeast Alaska and water quality. That's why I can't support this amendment at this time.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Keel.
If you're ready for wrap up.
Sure.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it's been a good discussion. And I won't get into why and how we don't have a program that's required by law operating when it has the funding. But I think it's noteworthy, as Senator Machicki said, that this program is ready for an update. It's ready for some modernization. But I do think it's noteworthy that we talked about the good work that DEC has done to beef up the water quality piece. And we also acknowledged in that conversation we just had that the Rangers do more than just and only water quality. And as the director said, that is all that DEC will do on board. Now, that's valuable, right? But there was a citizen initiative passed by the voters of Alaska that gave this particular program a broader mandate than that. I agree, we no longer need that mandate on every single voyage and every single vessel. I agree that we should use some of the funds that have gone to this program to do some other things, do some things better, as the director described, and do some new things, as Senator Machicki described and as the bill provides for. We can do those without a complete repeal. So what the amendment is to do is to continue the reform of the program, but not to end it entirely.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Thank you, Mr. Bates. I thought Mr. Bates did a fantastic job of explaining the department's intent and goals and vision. And there's been good debate. I'm going to maintain my objection. So will the secretary please call the roll?
No.
Yes.
Senator
Bonham-Poff?
No.
Senator
Keel?
Yes.
Senator Kalasaki?
Yes.
Senator Reno? No.
3A, 3
So in a vote of three yeas and three nays, Amendment A4 has failed to be adopted. Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number A1 and A2 would be dilatory since they would be higher level of presence of ocean rangers. So I won't be offering them at this time.
All right. Thank you. Do we have further discussion on SB 180? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill number 180, version 32-GS2493/A, be moved from committee as amended with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Object.
All right, there are objections. Senator, would you speak to your objection?
Mr. Chairman, I think I did.
Okay. Any additional discussion? All right, will the secretary please call the roll?
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
Yes. So, with a vote of three yeas and three nays, SB 180 fails to move from committee. All right. We will move on to SB 177. Microreactors. This is the third time this bill is before the committee. I understand that there is an amendment to SB 177, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment A.1.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This just deals with something we discussed in the first hearing on the bill. If a microreactor is proposed outside of a municipality, this would make clear that the legislature needs to approve that siting or that site decision. It maintains the provision within the bill that the legislature is not making the call on these sites. If it's in a municipality, the muni can make that call. So only the legislature would only make the call where the legislature is the assembly. That's the unorganized borough.
Thank you, Senator. I will remove my objection. Is there further discussion? Senator Machicki.
It would be interesting to hear from the department on this. I'll just tell you that no other energy facility has a trump card from municipality. And really any of the NEPA, I'll just say in any of the permitting capacities, it'd be nice to hear from the administration about what this impact might have before we make the decision.
Brief at ease. Machicki, I could reiterate a question for Christina Carpenter.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Carpenter. Been in the energy business for a long time, and you go through a lot of permitting for various things, but I know of no other cases where a community has a trump card on a facility or facility siting. Could you let me know what this could mean to a facility in the future, such as if I guess the base is on federal property, but in the location of a mine that may be near a municipality or a private entity near a municipality that is attempting to provide power to perhaps to that municipality, it becomes very dependent on who's sitting in city council seats at that time and things like that. So I'm just wondering what the impacts may be of this amendment.
Christina, perfect.
My name is Christina Carpenter, and I'm the Environmental Health Division Director for the Department of Environmental Conservation. Through the chair, Senator Machiki, I want to make sure that I understand your question. Are you asking about the requirement for municipal approval for the siting of a micro reactor?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
So the statutes, as they're currently written, were developed back in the 80s, and they required the local approval as well as legislative approval for the siting of the reactor. So I can't speak to the intention of when these original statutes were written in the 80s, what the intent was there.
So, Ms. Carpenter, then you don't have a problem with this since it continues on, so I obviously don't have nuclear experience, but you don't have a problem with that being continued into the future. If you support this amendment, is that correct? You see it as a continuation as current statute?
Senator Machiki, through the chair, so the bill in front of the legislature would remove the legislative requirement for siting approval for a micro reactor, and unless it's in an unorganized borough. So the Alaska Constitution already refers that back to the legislature in an unorganized borough. So the administration doesn't believe that this amendment is necessary based upon the language in the Constitution, but we don't oppose the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Machiki. Brief at ease. Objection to Amendment A1. Is there further objections to Amendment A1? All right, seeing none, Amendment A1 passes. I believe we have an amendment number A2.
Or A.7.
Oh, correction, A.7.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment A.7.
Okay, and I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's numbered A.7 because I ran this one by the department a bunch of times to get language that I hope is functional, and of course I won't speak for the department. What this amendment does, the bill, as you may recall, exempts. There's a long list of departments in existing statute that need to study any nuclear proposal for specific subjects relevant to their department. And the bill exempts microreactors from that. What this would do is simply say that when the state becomes aware of a microreactor application at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, DEC will be the lead, and it will coordinate with those departments to comment on the application so that the state of Alaska is involved in that federal process and Alaskans' interests are represented.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Further discussion? I will remove my objection to A.7. Are there any further objections? Okay, amendment A.7 passes. Are there additional amendments? Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill number 177, version 32-GS2503/A be moved from committee as amended with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, SB 177 version alpha is moved from committee as amended with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. We're going to take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. 19 before the committee. This bill is a transfer of personal use cabin permit bill. This is the second time the bill is before the committee. Is there any further discussion that members want to have on SB 219? We did not have the opportunity to have in previous meetings.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just clarify a couple of things on 219, if I may.
Senator Michiki.
I'll make it quick. There are issues with the cabin program in the state. There were bills in the past designed to clean it up, and the Department of Natural Resources needs to find solutions. This bill is simply designed to allow families that have owned leased cabin sites from the state, in some cases for many generations, to retain ownership in two different ways so that the department and the legislature has a chance to figure this out for the long term. I've heard no opposition from the department. I think they'd like to work this out. And again, this goes in two ways. The first section allows any living personal use cabin permit holder the ability to transfer to or add a name of an immediate family to their permit one time only. Again, it's to give time for solutions to this program. That permit would be valid for the lifetime of that immediate family member. The second one is if someone has already passed, allowing them to submit the name of an immediate family member, but not to extend past the natural longevity of that person. So they get to realize the benefit of the term of that lease for the rest of that deceased individual's life. Again, this is not a final solution. This preserves leased usage for families until a long-term solution can be delivered.
Thank you, Senator Michiki. For the record, I'd like to note that Senator Bishop has joined us. Do we have any further discussion on SB 219? All right, seeing none, can I have a motion?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill number 219, version 32-LS1224/I, be moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? All right, seeing none, SB 219 version India is moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. We'll take a brief at ease. we're back on the record. Next, we have SB 227 before the committee. This is the second time that this bill has been before the committee. We have worked with the department to fix some of the language in the original bill to conform with current department language and regulation and statute. With that, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that CS for Senate Bill number 227, Resources Version 32-GS2561/B, be adopted as our working document.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I'll object for the purposes of discussion. I believe we have someone from ADF&G as well as DNR to speak to the technical changes in the bill. If you could is it Mr. Mulligan or Mr. Walker? Mr. Mulligan, maybe put yourself on the record. Walk us through this.
Senator Rivak, this is Ben Mulligan for the record at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I can speak to a couple of the changes as we were in discussions with our ANILCA experts. They pointed out a couple of changes to be made, and those changes you can find on version B on page 4, starting on line 9, section J. You're going to see that section now reads, for the purposes of B and C of this section, the commissioner shall make a determination of navigability based on evidence consistent with the meaning given to navigable water in G of this section, and after considering factors that include. I'm going to point out that just that end part of that, which says that include. Our ANILCA folks said that maybe the original language was too constraining, and the interpretation would be that we could only look at what is below in the list for criteria to determine navigability. So we suggested some language that, at least gave us that flexibility that if we come into a future situation where we need to determine navigability, and it may not necessarily be in this list, that we could bring that forward and not be constrained. The second change that we suggested was right there on line 12, is that we have it just saying now a showing that a river is boatable during. The previous version had at least one third of the open water season. Again, this was all about just making sure that we weren't putting ourselves into too much of a box when we're looking at navigability and asserting the state's rights on that navigability, that we just changed it to boatable during. And those were the two conforming changes that we had suggested, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mulligan. Do we have other questions? Any questions, Senator Kawasaki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the this is for the definition for navigability. Is there a general, is boatable actually a term of art, I guess? And is the navigability, is there a stronger definition somewhere in current statute or that the feds use as far as navigability goes?
Mr. Chair, this is Ben Mulligan at the Department of Fish and Game. I'd have to rely on DNR's expertise for that answer, sir.
May it please the Chair, this is Jim Walker from the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, also standing by.
Thank you. Yeah, if you could go ahead and take a shot at that question, Mr. Walker, put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Chairman Rivak. This is Jim Walker with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. I work with the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Specifically, I am the Chief of the Public Access Assertion and Defense Section. Pleased to be before this committee again. Through the chair, to Senator Kawasaki's question, the definition of navigability is largely found within the case law that has been developed over time to define what it means for a particular river to be deemed navigable for tidal purposes, title for ownership purposes. As we discussed in the previous hearing, navigability can mean different things depending upon the context. For navigability for title purposes that this bill is concerned with, the definition is largely derived from the case law that has developed over the centuries, literally. And the term votability refers to the ability to vote with the requisite criteria and craft a particular water for a period of the open water season. So votability is a term that is useful in better understanding the legal definition of navigability.
Good, Senator Kawasaki. All right, other questions? Okay, I'll remove my objection to adopting the CS for SB 227. Are there any further objections? All right, seeing none, SB 227 version Bravo is adopted as our working document. It is now before the committee. Is there further discussion? We'll take a brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record. We would like to take a look at just a couple issues with this particular bill. We have a couple legal questions that we're gonna look at offline, and we'll revisit this bill here in the very near future. So we're gonna set that aside. I move and ask unanimous consent to rescind action on SB 180 version alpha. Okay, if the secretary would please call the roll.
Brief at ease.
Okay, we're back on the record. I withdraw my motion, and I move and ask unanimous consent to reconsider the vote on SB 180 version alpha. All right, seeing no objection, will the secretary please call the roll? And a yes vote passes the bill from committee, a no vote doesn't.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes. And with a vote of 4 yeas and 3 nays, SB 180 version alpha passes from committee. We're going to take a brief recess to sign the paperwork. Next, we have SB 228 before the committee, Outstanding National Water Resource, National Resource Water. This is the second time this bill has been before the committee. Is there any further discussion that members want to have about SB 228 that we did not have the opportunity to discuss in previous meetings? All right, seeing none. Yeah, oh, I'm okay. Yes, Senator Keel. I didn't see you.
Mr. Chairman, you'll look to the will of the committee today. Was that your intention?
Correct.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm not going to object to the bill moving out of Resources Committee today. I do have some concerns. I think bills authorizing the legislature to pass bills are probably more about statements than about changing the way we do things. When it comes to the Tier 3 waters issue, this is sort of the opposite of how we prefer to try and make resource policy. This is, instead of taking the politics out of it, this is putting the politics into it. So it gives me a significant pause. I know the bill has a way to go, and so I wanted to make those comments on the record today as it continues on its journey.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Any other further discussion? Okay, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate Bill number 228, version 32-GS2492/A be moved from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Are there any objections? Okay, seeing none, the bill as described passes from committee. We'll take a brief recess to sign the paperwork. Back on the record, next we have HCR 2 before the committee, Supporting Alaska Ocean Cluster. This is the second time this bill is before the committee, and I would like to acknowledge that we have Representative Tarr who's joined us in the committee today. Is there any further discussion on HCR 2 that members want to have on the discussion we may not have had the opportunity to have in previous meetings? None? Okay. Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that House Concurrent Resolution Number 2, version 32-LS04-96/A be moved from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Are there any objections? All right, seeing none, HCR 2 version alpha is moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. And that concludes the bills before the committee today. So we're gonna sign the paperwork while we're moving into our presentation. Lastly, we have a brief presentation on Alaska fisheries with a focus on the Matt Sue. Here to present today, we have Mike Wood, member and chair of Matanuska Susitna Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission on Teams, and Pete Pabasco, member of Matsu Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission. Both here. Gentlemen, whoever's ready to go first, please put yourself on the record and begin your presentation. Brief at ease, just a moment. to our friends from the MATSU, if we could just wait one moment. We actually have one more bill here, HB 54. Now, I thought that we had some additional concerns with this bill and needed to hold it over, but that was not the case. We've worked with the bill sponsor to improve certain aspects of this bill with the CS. With that, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate CS for House Bill Number 54, Resources Version 32-LS0057/B, be adopted as our working document.
Did you say B or D?
D as in David. Thank you.
Could you please restate the version?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll restate the entire motion.
Thank you, that'd be great.
And Senator Keel. I move that the Senate CS for House Bill Number 54, Resources, Version 32-LS0057/D as in Delta, be adopted as our working document.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Is there any objections? I will object for the purpose of discussion for to walk us through the changes. Mr. Lampkin, if you'd come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff of Senator Stevens. I've been asked to come forward as an assist to explain the changes to the bill. Version Delta before you is the result of the request of Senator Stevens to make a couple of amendments in conjunction and agreement with the sponsor, those changes being first on page 2, lines 5 and 6. It was noted that there was a fixed amount of $20 for these decals, and it was considered perhaps to be more flexible and appropriate rather than have to come before the legislature again and again over time to change that fixed dollar amount, to instead refer to that in regulation. You'll see on page 3, lines 5 and 6, to instead of a fixed fee amount that the council would meet and recommend what that fee amount might be over time and can change it flexibly, particularly given the possibility that over time that decals could be more costly than $20. So that just gives them some flexibility. The other substantive change, and what started all this, was Senator Stevens' request to add legislative representation on this council. And you'll find on page 4, lines 13 to 17, it adds two members of the House representatives appointed by the Speaker, one member of which being an organization in the minority caucus, and also two members of the Senate appointed by the Senate president, including one member of the minority caucus. That's consistent with the number of task forces that we've set up in the past that would include legislative representation. While we're in that vein, we also discovered that, of course, this is a large task force, large council, that with that change, it makes 31 members. And it being kind of substantially represented by those in the private sector and the optics of this being a public policy forum, conceivably public dollars, that the governor would appoint specifically one of the four commissioners as the chair of that council. And then also consistent with task force language was used before on line 4 there on page 5, a majority of the council constituting a quorum. And then finally, page 5, line 17, 18, that a vacancy on the council be filled in the same manner as the original appointment. Other than, as I understand, some conforming amendments made by legal, that's the summary of the CS before you.
Thank you, Mr. Lampkin. Questions from the committee members?
I have one question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Machicki. Just
curious if the senator who directed the amendments has volunteered to serve on the Invasive Species Task Force.
Are you crazy with 31 members? I appreciate having discussion with Representative Tarr and working out these details. I think it's a good CS.
Okay, we'll take that as a no. All right, thank you again, Mr. Lampkin. I'll remove my objections. Are there any additional objection to the CS? Okay, seeing none. The CS for House Bill Number 54, Version Delta, is adopted and before the committee. Is there any further discussion on HB 54? All right, seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 54, Resources Version 32-LS0057/Delta, be moved from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Are there any objections? All right, seeing none, HB 54 Version Delta is moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. And because of our time here, we're going to move right into our presentation. So I do appreciate your patience to Mike Wood and Pete Probasco from the Mat-Su Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission. If you folks please be so kind to come back to us, put yourselves on the record, and begin your presentation.
Well, hello. My name is Mike Wood. I'm the chair of the Mat-Su Fish and Wildlife Commission. You probably got our brief bio, but we're been on the commission, I think, 8 years, and we are made up of a really diverse group of people. And I'll just hand it over to Pete. Pete will introduce himself.
Good afternoon, Senators. My name's Pete Probasco, and I'm the younger Pete Probasco, and I appreciate you giving us time to help answer questions and explain who we are.
We also, out of our board, we have some slides that we can go through, but on our board, it's strictly advisory to the Assembly and to our political representatives here in the Mat-Su. So they can take it or leave it. Our board, though, is pretty diverse. We have one person who's a scientist who works for the Chicklin Tribal Council. We've got three members that have been career ADF&G. My only claim to fame is that I slog around in the mud as a Northern District set netter on the Ivan River and own a small set netting business. But otherwise, we work hard to use what the department has provided us in terms of science and in order to make decisions to advise our assembly. So you can look at the overview, that large slide there. That's the area of the Mat-Su Borough, that beautiful LIDAR picture up there. And out of the center of it is the Susitna River. The Yentna River flows into that, and the Northern District of Cook Inlet is flowing into it. Would you like to add anything, Pete?
Yes, thanks, Mike. And a lot of our priorities focuses on both fish and wildlife. And, of course, the key for any healthy fish and wildlife populations is our habitat. And I know you gentlemen and ladies are very knowledgeable on that, and habitat is key for our water systems as well as our land.
And thanks to your leadership, last year this committee was able to repeal the Rec Rivers legislation that was put in. That was great because we highly support the Rec Rivers legislation among our commission because it's a kind of a key safeguard to the habitat. Six of the rivers that are Rec Rivers, three of them have commercial fishing weirs on them for sockeye, both at Judd Lake, Larson Lake, and I'm spacing the name of Lake Creek, the end of Lake Creek. Chilatna Lake. Anyhow, sorry for that.
No worries.
Anyhow, the whole point is to really preserve our king salmon returns here. There has been an uptick through this into the Mat-Su.
They're on this one right now.
I'm sorry.
They're on that one.
You're looking at now you're on.
I'm messing with you again, Mike.
We didn't want you to stare at Israel Caton's large animal there for too long. Anyhow, what we've been doing here in the Mat-Su since it's growing so quickly is trying really hard to preserve the fish habitat that's coming up and have a place for these guys to return to. We're seeing good results in that with the king salmon over time. But ultimately, what we need is better tools in our weirs and funding the weirs and funding them longer in order to have a good idea of what's happening with fish returns up here in the Mattsu. We can go to the that next slide. Anything you want to say about that, Pete? Or...
Go ahead.
All right. Well, anyhow, the economics of it all, that's what this is pointing out. I mean, this is primarily driven by sport fishing up here in the Mattsu, although there are quite a few commercial fishermen that live in the Mattsu that fish in the Northern District as setnetters, not to mention all the businesses that are affected by this. But those numbers right there say a lot. And, of course, they would be even larger if the return of kings were what they were back in the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, and I think the, how we look towards the future and maintaining these robust economic contributions from our fisheries, the key is healthy salmon returns and healthy habitat. And what has been lacking is management research programs that we used to have in the past that now are being somewhat not augmented to the degree that they need to make sure that we have both healthy systems as well as healthy and maintained escapements.
So you can look at the next slide there. We've done a lot with, in terms of habitat, we've done a lot of rehabilitation, restoration, and we're focusing a ton on prevention. This is from invasives like Elodia and pike, which have been a major problem up here in the past, all the way down to fixing culverts and old bridges and trying to have some rules on the books that keep people from developing in real critical habitat areas. We can go to the next slide. At one point, we received a $2.5 million grant, and with that, we did quite a lot of work with it. With fish passage culverts and a research gap analysis. We believe that money was well spent on good science, and we no longer have that kind of resources at the commission level. And of course, they're always welcome to getting more.
And I'd like to add that of that $2.5 million. 900,000 of it went for culvert removal or upgrading, and then the remaining 1.6 million went to both research and management projects. Now, a number of them were ran by the Department of Fish and Game. We worked very closely with the ADF&G, both commercial, wildlife, and sport fish, and then some of our private sectors as well as our native community also were provided funding to look at anything from genetic studies to establishing weirs that weren't there before, and looking at various temperatures and limnological data that's important to understand these systems.
Okay, that next slide. This briefly looks at some of the work that the Mattsu has done to try to understand how fish move through the inlet, and the impacts that some of the policies have had on the Mattsu in general. I know a lot has been made of this. I'd like to say that this commission in particular has worked with not only sport but commercial fisheries to try to restore the runs up into the Northern District of Cook Inlet, which includes all of Anchorage and the Mattsu. Our habitat up here, especially for the commercial species of sockeye, isn't as robust as the Kenai area due to the lakes and whatnot, but we do have some especially thriving king salmon and coho salmon spawning grounds in this area, and making sure that these fish return up into the Northern District and into the Mattsu streams has been wicked important to this group in particular, and we've looked forward to working with the Board of Fish and the biologists, especially ADF&G, to see how they're moving through the inlet and into the Northern District.
And I'd like to add, thank you, Mike. Important thing to focus on this coming year is that, you know, the federal management stepped in and closed the EEZ and Cook Inlet. It's unknown at this time what impact that will have. We're not sure what management strategies will be implemented because the EZ is closed, and where those management strategies will focus on, particularly the Kenai Run, a very large, robust run. So we're not sure if this is going to be beneficial to moving fish through Cook Inlet or hinder. So we'll be watching that closely and working with the Department of Fish and Game and trying to identify what type of work needs to be accomplished to better understand this shift in the areas that are allowed to be commercially fished in Cook Inlet.
Okay, next slide talks about, and if you guys have any questions, please stop us. Feel free to chime in. Looking for partners and allies. I think one of the prouder moments we've had in the, sorry, Ted's wants me to go back to the last of that slide. Okay. Board of Fish meetings. All right. We worked collaboratively. I guess I'll just continue to say what I was going to say about that slide and working with our partners and allies. We, at the last Board of Fish meeting, we were able to work with the Northern District to have a more equitable way of fishing for kings with catch and release and the commercial fishery in the Northern District. Which is still allowed to commercially fish for kings. This agreement seems to be panning out really well. We've got user groups working together, and it's something that we can be proud of. All of this information, though, that we're using wouldn't be available if it weren't for ADF&G. Like, we're using their numbers, both for genetics and escapement goals. And I think that's one of the things we'd really like to emphasize here is that without cutting the cost of ADF&G on our weirs and for our escapement goals up here in this area, is it really impacts us in a huge way. I mean, basically, it's antiquated and it's disappearing, and it should be more robust rather than going away. We should be moving in the other direction, without a doubt, because the largest population of Alaska is right here using this resource. So our department needs all the help they can get. And all it needs is counting fish and counting fish longer, really, is what we're asking for. You want to say anything, Steve?
I'll do on this slide.
Yeah, go for it.
So how can we work together? Your resource committee and subsequent bills and funding bills will play, as you know, play a key role. And in order to establish sound management practices, we got to have the data. And the focus right now in the MATSU is how do we better understand both sockeye, coho, and chinook passage within Cook Inlet to their natal streams. And we initiated, based on that initial appropriation, a genetic stock analysis that's starting to help understand the movement of our fish, but more research and funding in that arena needs to occur. Another thing that's happened with the reduced funding to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is that a lot of our weirs are not able to run the entire stretch of the run. In other words, they're shut down prior to the run being completed. So our statements are estimates and not actual counts. And that's important to understand. Are we getting enough fish into their natal systems to provide future runs and healthy systems? So the key here is looking at how we can better establish a both management and research program within the Matsu Valley, Cook Inlet area.
And then the last slide there, some pretty fish. But I think one thing that on this committee, or the commission, that I think about a lot is in the Matsu, we now have probably three generations of kids that don't know what it's like to catch a king salmon. And there's this attachment to fishing that's starting to get lost over time. And it's really important for us to make sure that these fish are returning and get people out there using the resource and any way possible so that they understand what it means for them to have food on their table, to catch it, kill it, and eat it and enjoy that. So I think bottom line, that's what it comes down to for us here at the Matsu, is it's just a way of appreciating these still incredibly wild rivers that we have around us. Otherwise, people won't see any reason why they shouldn't just, you know, get rid of the wild rivers, you know, and the habitat for all the moose and the fish out there. So I think it's important to get this into on their plate, because in the end, they'll appreciate it even more. So, you have any questions for us?
Boy,
that
last photo looked very, very tasty. I think I might have to have salmon for dinner. I really appreciate your presentation. Are there questions, comments? Senator Michicki has one.
Yeah, thanks, Mike and Pete. Just encouraging you to reach out to the others in the watershed. I'm sure you do on a regular basis where certainly the Northern District is not the only with king salmon return issues. We're neighbors and partners of yours from my neck of the woods, and I feel like we have a tendency to fight about the scraps when a lot of the impacts are from way upstream in the life cycle. So hope we can work together as partners and solve problems in all of the watersheds, Cook Inlet.
Yes, Senator Stevens. If you'd like to respond, please put yourself on the record every time if you could.
Yeah, Mike Wood, through the chair. I just want to say to that, I think those cave beach set netters are really reasonable people. And some of them are friends of mine, and I enjoy sharing stories of their experience with compared to up here. So thank you for saying what you did.
Mr. Wood, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mike and Pete. Good to see you. Have you, or has anybody identified additional culverts that need to be removed and replaced?
Yes, there are. As you can imagine, the development in the valley, particularly in the early years, did not meet what is needed for imagining the streams. We've come a long way in making culverts better, but we still have a lot of work yet to do, particularly in the upper reaches. And as you, Senator Stevens, as you know, particularly with Coho, they have the ability to use water bodies that most people look at and say there's no salmon there, but particularly in the upper reaches where culverts for subdivisions or back roads do not meet what's needed to get those fish through. So the answer is yes. There's a number of systems that still need to be improved upon it to allow adequate passage.
Thank you.
If I may, this is Mike Wood again. I just drove back down here today from Talkeetna area, and every single bridge, starting at Montana Creek on the Parks Highway all the way down to Big Lake, is being bypassed for a repair this year because of that money, I guess, the infrastructure money. So there has been good work being done right now on some of these bridges, especially in that Big Lake area. It's pretty awesome. I can say for a fact that Spur Road of Talkeetna needs some serious help. But thank you.
Questions? All right. Well, I guess I just have a comment. Again, thank you so much for making the time to present here today. We really appreciate it. You mentioned the Wreck Rivers. Thank you for that perspective. Just so that you know, the issue that brought that before the committee really was access to a dock on Judd Lake. And so just for whatever that's worth, if that comes up, some of the folks in the lakes, they have this very shallow shore, and under the regulations, under the Wreck Rivers piece, they can't have a dock that's extends far enough out to where it's accessible within any kind of reason. So just a heads up, I know that they have a committee. I think that as often happens in this line of work, the easiest solution was just to repeal the whole thing, and we didn't feel like that was that was going to work. So that's the real issue. And again, thank you for being here. Appreciate you both. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Yes, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the work you're doing.
All right, great. Take care, you guys. Thank you to the committee members. We accomplished a lot of work here today. I very much appreciate your time and attention and presence. And thank you to the staff, as always, for all the hard work that you do. We couldn't do this committee without you. Our next regularly scheduled committee meeting will be this Friday, April 22nd, 2022, where we will review SB 229, State Historical Artifacts Crimes, and SB 230, Trapping Cabins Fee for Construction. This meeting is now adjourned at 5 p.m.